Thank you. Does everybody know Chris Hadfield is? The Canadian astronaut who famously covers David Bowie's Space Oddity while he was working at the International Space Station in 2013. Can't believe that was 12 years ago. The image of Hadfield singing and playing guitar while floating around the space station not only went viral, but has etched into the collective memories of Canadians and beyond. Hadfield was a great communicator, not the typical dodgy scientist type. I was with my niece, Ali, at the bookstore yesterday, and to my surprise, out of all the books, she is 13, she picked a Chris Hadfield book. I didn't know that Hadfield actually has written fiction as well. Apparently, bestseller as well. And lately, I've been listening to Hadfield podcast on energy, which is available on your whatever platform or podcast you use, right? It was very interesting that each episode he ends with something that really represents his passion and how he view life. He would end each episode saying, "I just want to remind everybody how important it is to have your personal dreams and to be making daily decisions to change who you are and move closer to those dreams." Over this summer, we've been reflecting on this bigger theme of God's dream with our children and also with us together. What have we learned about God's dream? Our heroine in the gospel story today has a dream too. We don't know much about her other than her ailment, that she is bent over and unable to stand up straight. That was all the gospeler Luke told us. Perhaps she might have a form of scoliosis, as it is being understood in medical terms today. But as I meditate on the story, I just can't help but wonder if the weight of the life that she was living was actually causing the bending over. I cannot help but think about the scripture choice of word, a spirit that cripples her. What kind of spirit have you personally experienced or have watched others experience that cripples your life or their lives for a prolonged period of time? I wonder whether there are faces and images start emerging to your mind as you think about spirit that can cripple a person for 18 years long. So first off, one entry point to interpret this reading is not just treating the story simply as a healing story of an illness or an ailment. There is a bigger picture there. There are things that can cripple us to a point that we may physically need to yield. is an embodied suffering of something bigger, even systemic. Our story began with a woman who was defined by her physical condition. It is jarring that so often it is still the case today that we define others by their illness or physical conditions sometimes. Or worse, we let our physical conditions define us. Think about people living with disabilities, how society has evolved in moving from label a disabled person to people first. Language is a person first with disability. Think about the scary C word, people living with cancer, and sometimes in the personal journey of living with cancer, how often cancer could take over and sometimes define the persons until we manage with support and with the grace of God within us to reclaim our personhood first. We are a beloved child of God, of a God who desires to set us free first and foremost before our other physical conditions define us. As I continue to read the story, I wonder how old she was, this woman. What was her name? Where did she live? Did she have a home at all? If she had a family of her own? I wonder how 18 years living as a crippled affects her prospect for marriage. I wonder how she is being received from day to day by her family, by people in the synagogue, or wherever she is in public places. I wonder how being a woman who is bent over, how she exchanged the kiss of peace, which is a very common social gesture of the day, shalom, exchange the kiss of peace with the people around her. Did she dream to be healed and to be able to stand upright again, or she had too many shattered dreams already, and all she could dream was daily sustenance? We gathered to celebrate this story today because God has a dream, and God dreams that this woman who have a condition being bent over be made whole, not just well, but be made whole, that she would no longer look at herself simply as a cripple, but as a beloved daughter of Israel, that she would be able to dream bigger dreams for herself and for others, even peace with justice for a nation. The funny thing about this story is that we were told that not everybody agrees on what God's dream is all about. For example, the leader of the synagogue, the keeper of what is supposed to be a life-giving, living tradition of God, the Torah, got his nose bent out of joint because Jesus was healing on Sabbath day or Shabbat, a day of rest which is central to the identity of the Jewish people. You may remember that the Sabbath has two origins in Scripture. One roots it is in the story of creation. As God rested on the seventh day, so also should all have a time of rest and renewal. Its second origin story comes from the book of Exodus, as Sabbath rest comes not as a command, but as a good news to slaves who never ever have a chance to rest. Indeed, the command or the promise of rest was extended to all, rich or poor, adult or child, human or animal. Everyone needs a time to rest, and so God makes it a commandment to safeguard rest for all. So, Shabbat itself is a dream of God to liberate God's people. It is an opportunity to avail ourselves in the presence of God without distractions. Shabbat is about God's justice of liberating Israel from slavery, and the observance of this rest is a way to participate into the life of the God of mercy and compassion. But the problem this story presents was that the purpose of Shabbat is being challenged here. Is the purpose of Shabbat to prohibit or to liberate? And Jesus makes the points very clear. Shabbat is a time to lose our bondage. David Lowes, a Lutheran pastor and theologian, says, "The law is supposed to invite us to nurture, tend, and keep each other's dreams. That the law is God's gift to help us live into God's dream, that all persons would be treated with love and respect, that all people would grow up with a robust measure of dignity, that all persons would have enough to eat and a safe place to live. We are dream tenders. God called us into a community of dream tenders. God doesn't just invite us to draw personal applications from this story, but challenge us to claim ourselves as dream tenders of each other's, to help God's bigger dreams comes true. So you are here every Sunday as we gather to pray, to take comfort and encouragement by scriptures, as we come to this table to enter into a deeper communion, not just with God, but with each other, with the whole creation, to be reminded our roles to tend each other's dream, to tend God's dream of liberations here. This is who we are, and this is who we are for. And to that, we say thanks be to God.